Here he says in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, whom shall I dread?" We shall need these verses, brothers and sisters, in the days to come in India. We're not going to face easy days in this country, Christians especially. Learn to say words like this: "The Lord is my light, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. And even if a host of enemies encamp around me, I will not fear. Even if war rises up against me, I shall be confident in this, because there is only one thing I desire. I don't desire to be king. I don't desire to be an elder. I don't desire even to live. If these enemies kill me, that's fine. I will only seek one thing from my Lord, and that is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Like we heard, not to ask Him for anything, not to tell Him anything, just to sit and behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate in His temple. How many of you know how to do that? We need a generation growing up who knows how to sit in the presence of the Lord, asking for nothing, saying nothing, just saying, "Lord, let me see Your beauty. Let me see Your glory." Moses had that desire: "Lord, show me Your glory." And God said, "You can't see My glory and live, but I'll show you a small portion of it." The greatest men whom God has used in church history are those who have had a longing to see the glory of God. And when they see the glory of God, they see their own need, like Isaiah. One day he saw the glory of God and he was never the same after that, because he saw what he was. And I believe that is why even a man like Paul, on one hand he could say, like he said in Acts 23 verse 1, "All my life I have lived with a good conscience." What does that mean? "I've never taken the Lord's name in vain. I've never worshipped idols. I've honored my father and mother. I have never committed adultery. I've never murdered anybody. I've never stolen. I've never borne false witness in court against anyone. I've kept the Sabbath faithfully." And then one day I found Christ and found all that was rubbish, that I could glory in that. I found the righteousness of Jesus and I'm justified. God looks at me as I've never sinned in my life. And that same man, in the same breath, would say, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am number one." Have you ever thought how that could be? On one hand, he has lived such an upright life, and at the same time, he thinks he's the greatest sinner on the earth. That is the mark of a genuine man of God. He lives in with a clear conscience, but he feels he's the greatest sinner on earth, because he lives in God's presence. And therefore he is quick to humble himself. I want to ask all of you, many of you are senior brothers in the church, do you ever apologize to anybody for something wrong that you did? Just use your mind a little bit right now. Think of the last time when you went to somebody and said, "Brother, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me." I want you to be honest. Some of you are elders and you can't remember when you ever said that to anyone. Be honest before God. You can be satisfied with your ministry. Oh, God is blessing me. God is using me to help so many people in the church in so many ways. Maybe God is helping you in your church to advise the brothers and encourage them and preach sermons that will challenge them and exhort them. And many of you elders are even in your churches conducting marriages and establishing happy homes. Wonderful. Sharing God's word. And we have distribution of articles now in Tamil, Malayalam, everything. Wonderful. And you're doing so many ministries. Great. But let me ask you, when was the last time you went to somebody and said, "Brother, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I made a mistake. Please forgive me." If you're honest, I think some of you will have to say, "I don't remember that I ever said that. I can't remember in the last 10 years I ever said that." Oh, then you must have become perfect 10 years ago. I'll tell you, my dear brothers, the reason why there is not more freshness and anointing in our CFC pulpits is because we are not sitting in the presence of God. Like David did. We're not seeing His glory. We're not being humbled by the sight of our own sin. Paul was the holiest man that was living on earth at that time. And yet he felt he was the greatest sinner. How do these things go together? They do go together. The holiest man on earth is usually the one who feels he's the greatest sinner on earth because he lives in God's presence. If he does not live in God's presence, he may be living a very holy life. There are many brothers who live a very good life. They don't violate the law. They do so many good things. They are so active in God's work. And they are elders also. And they are serving and serving and serving and sacrificing and all that. But they never apologize to anyone. Because there's no sense that I've ever done anything wrong. Something is wrong. Is it really true that you have lived your life for so many years without ever hurting anybody, without ever stamping on somebody's feet? You may say, "I've apologized to my wife." That is not a great thing. You apologize to your wife because it's a selfish desire. You want peace in the home. All husbands will apologize to their wives because they want peace in the home. Otherwise, life is miserable at home. I'm not asking about your wife. I'm asking if you have apologized to another brother. Have you apologized to an elder brother or a younger brother anytime? It's really true. I'm speaking. If the Lord speaks to your heart, take it seriously, brother. You may be a very senior brother, but there's something you have missed out completely in your life, despite all the wonderful ministry God has given you. I'm not denying it. Maybe hundreds of people are being blessed through you, but something is missing in your life. And you will discover it when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, that it is not your ministry God looks at, but your life. Martha was active and she was doing so much for the Lord, and so may you and I. But Jesus said, "Martha, you're worried about many things. Look at Mary. She's just sitting at my feet, looking at me." One of my favorite hymns is, "Father of Jesus, love's reward, what rapture will it be? Prostrate before your throne to lie there and gaze on thee." Not doing any ministry, just gazing. Do you know anything of that in your life? Do you know anything of these words of David? "One thing I have desired of the Lord," not ministry, just to sit and just to see you, Lord, just to sit around and look at you, to see your glory. That is a worshiper. Very few people know what it is to worship God. And that is the tragedy of our generation. Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, you shall worship, thou shalt worship, and then thou shalt serve. I have remembered that all my life, that I cannot serve without worshiping. And worshiping is not singing songs in the meeting. People, all of Christendom says, we have praise and worship. There is no worship there. All those songs are praise and thanksgiving. They have not understood what worship is. I've hardly ever, I think A.W. Tozer was perhaps the last man I've read of in the recent days who knew what worship was. Most of the others only talk about it. That man knew God. And that's why his writings have such power even 50 years after he died. Be a worshipper. That's what I would tell you. That's what I always tell my fellow elders. Be a worshipper. More than preaching and serving, be a worshipper. Live in God's presence. Keep your face in the dust. Like John at the age of 95. This is my favorite picture of a servant of God. John the Apostle in Revelation 1. Flat on his face before God, before Jesus. And it's like a dead man beholding his glory. We need many, many experiences like that. All of you young people, brothers, sisters.